The Guardian.
Buenas! Welcome to Music Weekly from Guardian.co.uk. I am Paul McInnes, and erupting from the intestines of this week's show, we have the Gallic charms of John and Jen, like Carla and what's-his-name Sarkozy, but with sling-over-the-shoulder synths. Some hot new data files from Black Francis, Ronnie Size and Ebony Bones. A pile of your correspondence, friend requests and such like. Not only that, we welcome back the First Lady of the pod, Rosie Swash, who's only been in conversation with Kim Deal.
One-time bassist with influential 80s rock group The Pixies, just one of the most salubrious reasons why she has gone on to enjoy icon status ever since. For the last 20 years, Kim has also fronted her own band Breeders with her sister Kelly. Their output has been less than prolific, however their latest album, Mountain Battles, comes after a period of sobriety which appears to have helped earn the band nothing but praise for their fourth album.
That was Cannonball by The Breeders, and Kim Deal is our guest today. Rosie, good to have you back.
Thank you very much.
Firstly, tell me how you are, and then tell us a bit about Kim.
I'm well. I'm good.
How was Goa?
Goa was good. Yeah. It was very good.
Did you spend time on the beach?
Yes, that's more or less what I did.
Yeah, but except you also hung out with some dropouts, I heard that as well.
I don't want to talk about that.
No, we don't. Tell us about Kim then.
What a fascinating lady she was. Still get goosebumps when I think about that interview. The Breeders have got the great new album, really like it, Mountain Battles, out. So that I was very lucky to talk to the former Pixies bassist and Breeders lead singer about everything. God knows what we didn't talk about. But I started off by, honestly, seriously, stuff that I didn't even ask.
God knows.
So we met at a very nice hotel recently, and it's been about 6 years since the last Breeders album, called Title TK. So my first question to her was, why the long gap between albums?
I don't know. Do you know what it maybe is? After the seal is broken and you realise the earth's not going to come down if you don't release it 2 years afterwards. And really, 4AD, I couldn't get in any trouble. I mean, they could kick me off the label. But, you know, they can kick you off the label anytime if they don't like it. What? You can't really do anything about it. And it wasn't like I wasn't trying. And I would tell Ivo I'm trying. I did notice, sitting around thinking, it's been a long time.
Well, because the other thing that's happened in this 8 years is the Pixies had a brief reunion.
Right.
And I imagine that probably, I mean, you've always, but you have been able to maintain the period that you were in the Pixies, you were always able to maintain Breeders.
Right.
But I can imagine that had something to do with whatever was happening with.
I would love to say that it did, but I don't think it did. In 2002, we did some demos, and I was living in East Los Angeles then. But in 2003, my mother was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. So I moved back to Dayton, Ohio. I live with my mom and dad. You can imagine that conversation, talking to the rhythm section, saying, look at you guys, we've been out here in East LA, but now we're going to have to move this into Dayton. And then that autumn, Joe called me and said, I talked to Charles and we're thinking of doing these festivals in the summer that were offered in Europe. And I went, oh God, no. And he goes, come on, Kim, it would mean a lot to me. And I said, okay.
So this is without Frank.
He was on tour.
Without the
Frank Black stuff.
Yes, yes.
And then it sounded good. And then Pixies toured in 2004, but we weren't out constantly.
Do you feel good when you look back at the Pixies reunion? Do you feel
good time doing it?
Because I think what you said and what Frank has said about the breakup of the Pixies was that there was maybe a lot of ego, and also you were young and there was a lot of talent that people felt that they needed to get out there. Do you think going back to the Pixies later on, maybe people were able to not worry about those things?
I don't know why he's the one who left, and I don't know. Is that what he says?
It was an article. There was a few around the time that the reunion happened that he said that he felt, you know, he was, it was his own ego that he was talking about, that he was too concerned with being the lead singer, being the guy that wrote the songs, to let there be someone else that big in the band, meaning you, the songs that you wrote, and the reception you had from fans and how much they liked you.
Right.
And that, I mean, you know, it sounds like perhaps he was jealous, but that's not what he's able to say. I don't know if that was your experience.
You know, what's weird is that people say, like, you know, this thing with the Breeders is great because it gives you a chance to finally sing. It's too bad that, you know, Charles wouldn't let you sing more in the Pixies. Which makes me have a mixture of feelings. It's like, how insulting can somebody be? That's one side of it. And the other side isn't, oh God, isn't that cute? They're trying to protect me. You know, Pixies are a well-rehearsed band. We work really hard on our set list and our act. It's not a horrible mistake that I'm not singing any songs. I'm the bass player. It's like everybody all of a sudden has turned into my mother. Now, Kim, you should be singing on this song. Why does that guy have the microphone all the time? You can tell you want to sing more. You're just standing there, not doing anything.
You're right. It's very insulting when you put it like that.
Well, you know, but it's sweet at the same time. I don't think they say they're not talking about having Joe sing.
Tonight, we're all shining.
You talking about growing up in Dayton. This is the time when you were saying that to be in a band as a woman meant sparkly tops, holding the tambourine, you know, the dressing, rather than being at the core of the band. I think that is what music is like now. Like, there was a period mm-hmm. where, you know, with hardcore and the Riot Girl scene and bands like Bikini Kill, where mm-hmm. it was like, well, this is it, we can do it and we can do what we want.
Right, right.
And we don't have to be pretty
right.
and all that. But that hasn't feel to me as though it's changed anything. What do you think?
I mean, I don't see that the man doing that to anybody, you know? I wouldn't think that anybody would be to be blamed other than the people who want to do it and aren't doing it anyway. So why would you do it only because somebody liked it? I mean, that doesn't even make sense. So there's really not a problem.
But that's part of it, is women still want to be looked at as attractive beyond, you know, before.
They want cash, I think. Just like regular people, you know. They just want cash, I think, most of the time. I think guys do, too. I think a lot of people are motivated for payday. And there's nothing wrong with that. That makes them happy. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. That doesn't mean I have to listen to their music, though. You know.
What would your advice be to a young man or woman who wanted to exist for a long time making music and wanted to get the best they could out of the industry without having to compromise anything? Because I think that's probably something that you've excelled in.
Well, but that's a weird question. Get the best out of the industry. Why would the industry need to work for you? If you're just by yourself and you enjoy playing songs, what does that have to do with even putting a record out?
So you're not motivated by cash?
Oh, it would be so sad if I was. But actually, it's, you know, the Pixies did really good this past time. Now, it would be really sad if that was what I was motivated by, because I would be an idiot. When I go back home to Dayton, I'll have my guitar and a book this thick. It's called Country Classics. And I just open it up, and my mom sits there because she's got the Alzheimer's, and we start singing. Music doesn't actually have to be about selling something. Do you know
so
what I mean?
So what motivates you to make music?
I mean, if it sounds good, honestly. Yeah.
Are we waiting for another pause? Or can I go? I can go. That's the one and only Kim Deal. Mountain Battles by the Breeders is out next week, and they're in Glasgow, Nottingham, Sheffield, Manchester, Birmingham, Leeds and London this month too. Rosie, did you feel energised by that meeting?
I did. Not as energised as I felt after Anton Newcombe. Which, as I said, fascinating lady.
Indeed. Are you any closer to overturning the male hegemony in music after that, by the way?
Yes.
Good. Something to think about there then, but not for very long, as it's time for this week's Singles Club. Now that Rosie's back, you can catch a text version of this feature every Tuesday at guardian.co.uk/music. But this is the chat about version. And here to contribute some forthright and learned opinions is none other than the one, the only, the guru, Dorian Linsky. Hello, Dorian.
Hello, Paul.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good, I'm glad to hear that. As well as being a writer on publications ranging from The Word to Spin, you are the chief superintendent of the Readers Recommend community, where users help to create a weekly playlist for The Guardian, but you're about to leave it. Is this a bit like Russell Brand leaving Big Brother's Big Mouth?
except good.
Except good.
Except good.
Are you moving on to bigger and better things, is what I'm asking?
Not in the Russell Brand sense, although I am writing a Wookiee Wook.
Ah, fantastic.
Although that title's already taken, so I'm going to have to try another one.
Wookiee Book?
Wookiee Book, exactly. I think.
Although somebody might think that was about kind of big hairy things from Star Wars. So
whatever helps shift some coffee, isn't it?
Very good. On to the music. We start this week with Ebony Bones and the single whose title she's been waiting to use since she was 13 years old, Don't Fart on My Heart. Right, Ebony Bones may sound like an 18th century pirate, but she is in fact 21st century singer Ebony Thomas of London Town. After starring in brutal Channel 5 soap, Family Affairs, a chance meeting with the dam's rat Scabies turned her onto music. That is all true, apparently. As is her description of herself as Harry Potter with a vagina. Imagine the queues outside Waterstones for that. Right, first person to mention the word tribal wins a prize. But Rosie, what do you make of that record?
Tribal.
Tribal, yeah. I actually haven't found a prize.
I love that. I think that's brilliant. I think it's really good. I've seen her live a couple of times, and she was much better the second time. She's very energetic. But I've been listening to this quite a lot since I first reviewed it on Tuesday for Singles Club. I think it's got a real sort of genuine surge of energy through it. It doesn't just feel like, oh, you know, let's put loads of instruments here and try and create a big sound. It's really got something that she brings to it. And there's like subtleties about it also that I really like. The way that she chops up her lyrics there when she sings, why are you still, she's in your past, singing her praise. It's not, she's sort of chopping up. You still get the meaning, but she's not making it sort of consecutive sentence, so to speak. And it's just little things like that I think make you think that someone's really thinking about what they're doing.
Dorian, three words for you. Bow, wow, wow.
I suppose so. There's another three words. there is that aspect, but it's sufficiently modern. And I think what you're getting now is quite a lot of people who are kind of taking a lot of the attitude of the sort of post-punk period rather than just replicating the sound. So kind of the rough ingredients like sort of yelpy vocals and kind of tribal rhythms, yes. But it just seems to have been put together in quite a kind of natural, unforced way. And there's almost sort of Batacada kind of rhythm going on, slightly, you know, you can imagine Basement Jack's using. And the guitar sounds almost like a Dead Kennedy sample. And there's just kind of... It's quite sort of appealingly odd.
Yeah, and it seems to be doing that, you know, I suppose, a mashup thing of putting together lots of different styles and in a bizarre cut-up order, but doing it with what seems to be live instrumentation as opposed to the sort of thing, say, MIA might do, which is all computerised. Does she kind of perform that way live on stage?
Yeah, I mean, it's very much all about her, but that's okay. She's a bit of a diva, definitely. But, you know, and it's great. She obviously can't really sing, but she's given it her all. I mean, she can't. She's not singing, though, is she? She's sort of shouting. And yet, you look at all the stuff that she says about herself in the title of this song, she's obviously not taking herself too seriously. I hope she's not, by the title of that song. So that's also very endearing.
OK, well, thank you very much. Don't Fart on My Heart by Ebony Bones is out right now. Second track on Singles Club is Don't Hold Back by Ronnie Size.
Hold on, let me talk my mind. Since 97, I've walked the line. Yeah. Never look down, I don't fear the hype. Never do shades, I don't fear the light. Now, what's around the corner? No can tell. Guarantee this man will face it well. Yeah. I'll jump the fence and I'll duck the shells. Step down so hard that I break the scales.
That's Ronnie Size with Don't Hold Back. Ronnie Size won the Mercury Prize in 1997 for his album New Forms, which beat no marks like Radiohead and The Prodigy in the process. The Bristolian was a pioneer of drum and bass music and even played it with a live band at one point, but then the music went out of fashion. Now it's back in fashion again, and so Ronnie is re-releasing New Forms, albeit re-edited. Dorian, was it worth him coming back?
Well, with this, yes. And I noticed the way that they've cunningly edited the part of the title so it goes back, 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 so that we know he's back, 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 back. And I was kind of expecting a drum and bass track, because a lot of drum and bass DJs are still kind of making a very good living doing that around the world, and it's as if it's sort of still 1997. But what I like here is the way that he's used all those skills to make a hip-hop track, but with this real sort of percussive punch, which comes from spending years working on really complex rhythms. And it's just got that brilliant kind of blaring, brash quality of, you know, Busta Rhymes or Ludacris. And MC Dynamite appears to have learned how to rap, which, I mean, he's had 11 years, I guess. Although I do notice he uses the line, clear out your eardrums, yeah, I got bleach, which should not be taken as literal advice.
I don't know, I've never actually tried cleaning anything with bleach. Maybe it's more effective than your normal domestic products. But it reminded me actually of that. Remember when Adam F. did an album of hip-hop stuff? He did one with Redman, Smash Something, which was a big hit. And it's got that similar, that souped-up production, which sometimes, you know, it's suggestive of a dance music background a little.
And it's brilliantly sort of militaristic. You get these kind of big punchy horns and there's real sort of like Godzilla-ish quality to
it. I love the bass line too. Rosie, could you come up with a genre title for this type of music?
A genre title? Well, it made me think of Chemical Brothers and the last, but you know, in the chat they did with Q-Tip Galvanize. And but then now that you've said Adam F. and just reminded me of the album, which I loved. I love the one he did with Little Mo. I think you're
Little
right.
Mo from Out of EastEnders.
Yeah. Wow. She's really
good.
That is
crossing over.
She don't need 11 years to tell you that much. I don't know. I don't think it is a new genre. I was trying to sort of think, I mean, he's obviously a bit of a master of his art. It's not my thing. I would never really be listening to it, and it doesn't make me want to dance.
Now, I know we don't kind of try and apply any commercial pressures on any of the things we review, but who is actually going to buy this?
I would say maybe sort of people like Ben Childs, who works from the film section, who's a brakes man and who...
So it's kind of going to appeal to that dance community and not any
further. I don't think
further.
It's going to appeal particularly to a younger audience.
One thing I did notice, which is quite interesting, I think Ronnie Size, this summer, is playing at WOMAD, where they have for the first time ever a drum and bass tent. So there you go.
Always finger on the pulse.
Yeah, exactly.
Drum and bass coming soon. It's the shoegazing tent.
Draw your conclusions there. Don't Hold Back by Ronnie Size is out now. Final track on Singles Club is The Seuss, The Seuss by Black Francis.
I am the great Seuss. I am the great Seuss. I am the great Seuss. I'm going to city to see my daddy. I hope he's glad when he is with me. I was an itty bitty bitty baby, but now he'll see I am a big man.
Okay, I don't know why I offered the variant pronunciation there, because that is Black Francis with The Seuss. Black Francis, a.k.a. Frank Black, a.k.a. Charles Michael Kittredge Thompson IV, used to kick around with Kim Deal in some band called The Pixies. He's also found time to release a dozen solo albums, and the 13th, Seven Fingers, comes out later this year. He once appeared on the BBC's The Culture Show to do some celebrity busking, and he raised just under £22. Dorian.
I think he would have raised less than £22 had he started with that. I like it in the sense that I don't want to hear it again. But I like it because the great thing about the Pixies was that incredible sort of berserk quality where it was sort of aliens and Mexicans and incest. And some of the later Black Francis stuff, he seemed to be settling into that kind of middle-aged guy, country rock groove, which seemed a waste. And here he sounds properly kind of nuts again. There's a little bit of sort of Captain Beefheart. There's a little bit of that kind of mad shoutiness of some of the weirder Pixie stuff. So it's a good thing that he's doing it, but I don't think I would play it ever.
I love this song. I can't stop listening to it. I think it's brilliant. I love the way the riff resolves itself from something discordant and kind of all over the place into a really effective driving thing. I love the lyrics. The lyrics are great. It's like listening to Coriolanus or something. Although, obviously, he's telling the story of Theseus a little bit, who went to hunt his daddy Aegeus down in Athens. I did a little bit of research there.
Wikipedia.
Yeah. Thanks, Wiki. But Rosie, you've been in Singles Club this week. You were talking about the kind of the resemblance to some of a kind of Jack White product.
This is not to suggest that he's ripping off the White Stripes or Jack White, but
not
there's
for a
something
moment, are we?
The sort of the nature of the riff, the way it judders it, and the way that he delivers his vocals, which he's been doing. He did quite a lot on the last album, Bluefinger, which I really liked. That was out last year. That kind of shouty, you know, sermonising, I think I said, way, and that's very reminiscent of a White Stripes record, which makes me like it. But I also really like him, and I think what Dorian was saying about the berserk quality, you just imagine a bit, probably a little bit like talking to Kim Deal, what it must be like to sit down and talk to him and his latest fascination. And, you know, I think Seven Fingers is based on this mythological figure who had seven fingers and seven toes. And so there's obviously all this theme running through this EP. The last ones, he seemed to be obsessed with aviation and a Dutch artist.
It's good that a man in his middle age has hobbies, though.
Yeah, but
you wouldn't want him just to go back and just kind of be playing the guitar on the porch. Bit of learning, bit of reading.
People singing about nothing, which happens quite a lot.
It does happen quite a lot.
That sense you got with the Pixies, where it's just like he just read a book about Alec Eiffel. He's going to write a song called Alec Eiffel. He's into Roswell. Song about Roswell. And there's that brilliant sense that kind of that anything was up for grabs in a pop song. And I suppose he's demonstrated that kind of here.
Here's another little Wikipedia fact before we move on, because Theseus was a very important figure in Greek mythology and helped to kind of build Athens. And in fact, he was the hero for the Ionian Islands, the official hero. Meanwhile, Hercules, he was the official hero of the Dorian Islands. How's about that, eh?
Who knew?
Who knew? There we go. What serendipity there. Okay, that's The Sayers by Black Francis, and it's out soon. Last week on the pod, we played you a mixed bag of music. And that's a gentle way of saying otiose muck that left anyone who heard it unable to stop crying for a whole day. It was so dreadful that Davis64 was forced to make his first ever post. Crystal Castles really are the type of band you have to be below a certain age to enjoy, he said, before going on to suggest that the Kooks had taken rock music to a hitherto unplumbed depth. It's only fair to point out, however, that SV80 did defend Crystal Castles, observing that there's something, and I quote, genuinely wonderful about them, while Matty Groves could stretch to saying he quite liked the Tapes and Tapes number. I then made a promise to apply greater scrutiny to our choice of music, and you have just heard the first fruits of my labour. So I think, actually, we did have some good selection this week, and because we seem to like most of them, can I just ask quickly, which is your fave, Dorian, out of the three, which would you, if you had to pull one?
I got to say, the Ronnie Size.
Yeah, interesting. Rosie?
I'm going to plump for Ebony Bones.
Ebony Bones, and I'm going to plump for Black Francis. Hey, what a spread. Okay, let us know on the blog whether we actually pulled it off this week. The address at which to do so is blogs.guardian.co.uk/music. Feel free to comment on Black Francis, Ebony Bones, or Ronnie Size there. But if any of the following tunes grab your fancy, you can do so too. Here comes the montage.
The Cool Teenies, not 19 forever.
Felix the House Cat. Radio.
Radiohead, nude.
My body!
Okay, and as The Voice fades out, we say thank you very much, Doreen Linsky, for coming in to join us today.
No, thank you.
Well, thank you. I do hope you'll come and join us again. It's been great to have you. That's it for this week's review-a-thon. Don't forget to keep Rosie's text reviews company every Tuesday at guardian.co.uk/music. Next on Music Weekly, we're not the sort to engage in tired old clichés about the French. Oh, no. Instead, we seek out fresh young clichés about how all the men wax their chests and wear V-neck T-shirts while the women compose blank verse on the subject of death. All of which brings us on to John and Jen. John, Johnny, my sweetest princess. Love should be full of suspense. Your bed flowers night in a hotel.
John and Jen are an indie rock duo from France whose music has been compared to everyone from The Kills to Serge Gainsbourg. They're a couple in real life, something that apparently helps, not hinders, the creative process. They now live in London, where they play live very regularly and put the finishing touches to their eponymous debut album.
Well, that is 20L07 by John and Jen. Rosie, you spoke to them earlier today. What was it that attracted your attention to them in the first place?
Well, I saw them play the White Heat night in London, and they're great performers. Really, really good. Really, kind of like this honest. You really feel like you're not getting a front at all. You're getting them. They're just incredibly. They're almost like made up. You couldn't believe they're in a band. They're so cool. And I really like the music. It's kind of Killsy, but I guess I'm saying that because there's two of them and there's a drum machine and da da da. But I started off by asking them. They live in London now, but I wanted to know a bit about them living in France and how they met.
At a party, a New Year's Eve party, in now 3 years ago,
yeah,
4 years ago.
Because it's reasonably well known, but perhaps not to listeners, that you are also a couple in real life.
Yeah.
So did you get together immediately? I want to hear the...
Yeah, it's funny. We were in the party with lots of people and we just stuck together all night. And if you want, like, a love story.
It says in your biography that you're both in other bands that the other thought was totally shit.
That's true.
What kind of bands were they?
Not totally.
Yours were not totally shit. It was interesting.
Yeah, I was in a duo with my best friend and it was a new wave, really new wave-ish kind of thing. It's really very cheesy.
Yeah.
It sounded really like Joy Division. And she was in a band called Motel. And I played a few songs in that band because I wanted to just
steal her
from the band.
How did the ideas for your music come about?
He had this lots of songs he recorded for the band he had before, and we had this idea first to re-record some of them in another way.
Also because we were just been together since 6 months.
He couldn't play, so I said, you suck.
Very, very honest.
She was really, really pretentious.
Yeah.
I've read that it said that a few different references to you feel like your music is an ongoing conversation between the two of you.
People say that about us more than we said it.
Apparently it's more obvious on live, looking at each other. I don't like to watch the audience.
I like to watch the audience, actually.
One of the first reasons for me.
Why do you get nervous?
I just don't care. I'm just... I don't know, I don't know these people, I don't want to stare at their eyes and stuff like that. I don't know. Mm. Maybe because I'm a bit shy. I'm not that shy.
No, you know, I watch the audience, actually. I think I watch everything around me anyway.
How do you find audiences here?
One of the reasons why we came here is that the audience has is this rock culture, you know. It's like they would tell you about The Fall, and they would tell you about lots of very, very interesting bands that we like and that no one knows in France. And
do you think you're going to stay? And
for a while, yeah.
Are you recording your album here?
Half of it. Yeah. Half in our bedroom in Wood Green and half in my parents' house in France.
Your music doesn't sound very Wood Green.
We do hip-hop. Yeah.
Who is it that you both agree, yeah, this is, you know, that you both love? And
I've been introduced in music when I was young with the jazz, with John Coltrane, Thelonious Monk and stuff like that. My brother is a jazz pianist. Still today, and especially now, I'm really into jazz again. Especially Charlie Mingus and still John Coltrane.
But you're not classically a jazz trained?
No, as a drummer. Ah. I used to play drum for 10 or 11 years. And I was in a jazz school for that. But I always played in rock bands.
What about you, Jen? Did you grow up?
It was the same. I grew up with... I studied music with jazz.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Piano. For 10 years, too.
Jazz now is just boring.
Yeah.
Jazz now is dead.
It's not at all about now, living, and it's not at all about
now it's
putting life into music.
It's in the white man's hands. That's why it's dead now.
Yeah. They don't have enough problems in their lives.
The few people that have reviewed you or sort of tried to introduce you in text have referred to you sounding like or having the influence of Serge Gainsbourg in your music. Is that true? Because I didn't know whether that was just a stereotype of people from France.
Well, we grew up with him. Like, we grew up with Serge. You know, he was everywhere in France. And he's really into our blood. And he made amazing albums.
Jacques Brel is maybe bigger influence for me.
John and Jen's debut album is out later this month. They play Brighton on the 17th and London loads of times after that. On to your feedback. And, Rosie, people were nice to me this week.
I'm really pleased to hear that.
That's true, actually, because you know I have a very fragile ego. Frisky Dingo, Chaz and Dave and Marquis all complimented me on persevering with arch purveyors of archness. We are scientists, which, to be honest, is a bit like complimenting a bloke in a bear suit for finishing the marathon 7 days after everyone else. Still, I tried. Elsewhere, Fletney Paul claims to have cleared a little space for Yeser in his heart because, and I quote, "I'm a sucker for nice people in the music biz." Meanwhile, in the personal revelations department, SV80 confessed to living in Dalston and reading Dazed and Confused. SV, you realise there is now no way back from this. And Michael Hann confessed his face was once this close to Sol Campbell's penis. He did. That's what he did. No, not on the podcast, on the blog.
Oh.
But, you know, still. Anyway, over on Facebook, Ida Augustson joined the Paul's pronunciation posse, saying, "I just love the way you pronounce my surname on the pod. Totally wrong, of course, but Swedish is a bit hard, perhaps. Believe me, Ida, it's not nearly as tough as understanding producer Scott's Geordie accent." He gave me the V's. Anyway, some new friends. George Dimitrakopoulos, Tommy McLean, Sarah Kelly, Millie Cantor, Samantha Finley, Sonia Fowler, Ruth Fowler, are they related, and Alan Jarvie. Post comments on this week's blog. Tell us what you made of Kim Deal and John and Jen and our reviews and all of that. And penises if you have to. The address is blogs.guardian.co.uk/music. That's all from us this week. Rosie, has it been good to be back?
Threw me a little bit when you started talking about Sol Campbell's penis.
But now I notice you're back on track.
Yes.
Draw from that what you will. Anyway, we're back next Thursday and we're leaving you with John and Jen and a live track called Fear, Fear, Fear.
Okay, this song is called Fear, Fear, Fear by John and Jen.
Mine is closed. Shaking about the sheets and I got
just can't sleep. Fear, fear, fear. She takes me for a joy. Fear, fear, fear. She takes me for a joy that night. Every night she bends over me and she's my
great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.